Praise the Lord. Carrying on with a study in the book of Revelation, week 8, study 8, reading from Revelation chapter 2, verse 8 to 11. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich, and I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews but are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews, but are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Smyrna was a small persecuted church in a beautiful, wealthy city. And the city of Smyrna was about 25 miles north of Ephesus. It was nicknamed the Port of Asia because it had an excellent harbour on the Aegean Sea. The church in the city struggled against two hostile forces. Number one, a Jewish population strongly opposed to Christianity, and a non-Jewish population that was loyal to Rome and supported the emperor worship. Persecution and suffering were inevitable in an environment like that. Even though the Christians were poor at Smyrna, probably as a result of economic boycott, they were spiritually rich. Opposition from the Jews made life particularly difficult for the Christians there. It's interesting that, isn't it? Even though the Christians were poor at Smyrna, probably as a result of economic boycott, it makes you wonder what's going to happen. We're moving into that time when the mark of the beast will be enforced upon people, and they won't be able to buy or sell unless they receive the mark, a number of his name, and so on. And that's like an economic boycott, isn't it? It appears that religion was getting the upper hand in Smyrna. Religion was despising the true born-again church at Smyrna. There's a difference. There's one case in the Bible, in the New Testament, that speaks about pure religion. And when we're speaking about that, we're talking about the born-again church. But religion, the word religion generally as a whole, it has bad connotations. Because there are two churches in the world today. And we know the apostate church is religious. And this basically was the same in that day. There were two churches, and one of them had religion and the other had Jesus. And that's what's happening today. The apostate church today has got religion, and the true born-again church has got Jesus. Now, the apostate church is the church of the flesh. The church in that day, the religious church, were of the flesh. And as it was in those days, those of the flesh persecuted those in the spirit. It's the same today. And there will be a heavy persecution against the true born-again church from the religious church, as it was in those days, in these days, except on a larger scale. But this is a model, this is a picture, really, of what will happen on a larger scale today. Religion was despising the true born-again church at Smyrna. Isn't this the case as the apostate church grows and allied with the Antichrist, the spirit of the world, Babylon? And that's what will happen in these end times. The spirit of religion has always been an enemy of the born-again church of Jesus Christ, and always will be until Jesus returns. Because the spirit of religion is a satanic spirit sent by Satan to imprison the church with deception, false doctrine, lies and blindness and snobbery. I'm talking about a poor church in a wealthy city, probably surrounded by snobbery. And you know, that's one of the things that's entered many of our churches today, snobbery. And that's an abomination in the sight of God. And this is the spirit of religion. It's religious snobbery. It's called religious hierarchy as well. You know, we've been in this church longer than you, therefore, you know, we're in higher in position. It's almost like works, you know, we're working our way to be accepted by God. So the longer you've been in the church, the better you are. It's spiritual, it's religious snobbery, it's not spiritual. It is a weapon, this religious spirit, that Satan has successfully used against the church to blind it from listening to the voice and leading of the Holy Spirit. It has entered many churches and people's lives throughout history up to this present time, making them ineffective in the things of the Spirit of God. You know, many churches today in this country and throughout the world are bound by the spirit of religion. The leaders have not recognized it. It's almost like they've been blind to it. They haven't had the discerning of spirits operating in their life. Because when you've got the discerning of the spirits, and it is a gift that we need to pray for today, you can see when the wrong spirit is coming and the wrong teaching is coming into the church, because you see the source behind it, satanic. And that religious spirit has entered because the leaders have not been diligent in correcting it and sorting it out. And instead they've compromised because they didn't want to offend anybody. They wanted to keep the people in the church. Instead of honouring God and thinking, well, I'll preach the word and I'll correct anything that's wrong, and it might empty the church of a few people, but at least we'll be right with God. They haven't done that. They've been more concerned about what people think about them and the way and appearances. They've been trying to keep up appearances. And in the church in that day, the false church, the religious church, the Jewish church, we're a church of appearances, wealth and appearance. And God never commended them. You see, why? Because the judgment of God was on them. But God commended the church in Smyrna, this poor, suffering, persecuted church. He said, everyone sees you as poor, but I say you are rich. It is better to be rich in God than to be rich in the eyes of the world. And I'm afraid this is the spirit of the world, keeping up appearances, you know, what you've got, what you've accumulated in this life. But at the end of this life, at the end of the road of this life, and it's a terrible thought, we'll leave it all behind and we'll either go to heaven or hell. And you wonder at times why God allows people to make so much money and to become rich and yet they reject him. Because God foresees the hell they're going to spend in eternity, in a terrible suffering in a place called hell. And God knows this is only a short time for them to enjoy these pleasures. And God is merciful. He sends his sun and rain and all these good things to people in this life. And so they enjoy them. And they try to accumulate as much as they can to make themselves comfortable and families after. But when they depart from this world, they go out as they came in with nothing. And they won't be able to take it with them. And if they die without Christ, they'll end up in the pit of hell alone with no friends, being tormented forever and ever, world without end. That's a horrible thought. And they will have a knowledge and regrets knowing all the pleasures that they had in this world and all the pleasure they enjoyed in this world. If they had more pleasure and they were prosperous and rich like so many are today, like so many famous people, then it'll be a bigger hell for them because they lived in luxury. The Bible speaks about that in Revelation. And all the luxury lived in, give her as much torment as the luxury that she lived in. That's what will happen to those who die without Christ. The luxury lived in, the torment will be multiplied back because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Hell is a very real place. And when people die without Christ, they're going to hell immediately. Someone dies now, this moment. It's not a futuristic thing. Instantly, they will go down into that pit of hell to suffer forever. Now, be warned. Anybody who's listening to this message, whoever you are, repent of your sin and come to Jesus Christ. Know that he died on the cross for your sin and you need to be saved. Ask him into your life. You are a sinner, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You are a sinner. Your sin nature, what you are, a sinner in the eyes of God, no matter what you think you are, you might be self-righteous, you might have a low opinion of it, whatever you think you are, if you don't have Christ in your life, you're not repenting of your sin, then you're going to hell. You might say, well, I've been going to church, I've been a good person. That will not save you. If you don't repent of your sin, you are a sinner. No matter how good you may think you are, how many church services you've been to, you will go to hell even if you go to church. If you haven't accepted Jesus into life, repent of your sin. Get right with God. Because I'm telling you, churchianity won't save anybody. Being in a certain denomination won't save anybody. Only Jesus Christ can save you from your sin. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved. Only the name of Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12. And the other one's John 14:6. And so Satan has used this weapon of this religious spirit to blind the world and the church from listening to the voice and leading of the Holy Spirit. It's entered many churches throughout history up to this present time, making them ineffective in the things of the Spirit. The end result is that they have a form of religion, but they deny its power. Religion is a deception that Satan has used to block people from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees one day and he said, you make proselytes. He said, you go travel land and sea to make one twice a child of hell as yourself. He said, you're making disciples after yourself, they'll all go to hell with you because you reject me. Religion, going to church, denominationalism won't save anybody. Only Jesus Christ can. I accept that people are in denominations, but if they don't know Jesus, they're going to hell. Nothing wrong with it. People have different choices to make. They feel more comfortable in that denomination or that denomination. As long as it's a born-again one, that's fine. What is the power behind and sustaining and upholding the Church of Jesus Christ, the born-again church? Because the Church of Jesus Christ is not the Church of England. Okay, let's get this clear today. You know, there's ministers today, they're talking as though the Church of England is the Church of Jesus Christ. It's not the Church of Jesus Christ. The Roman Catholic Church is not the Church of Jesus Christ. And there are many others that I can mention. Although within, I believe, the Church of England, there are born-again Christians, and there are many that aren't. And in many denominations there are born-again Christians. The Church of Jesus Christ is the born-again Church of Jesus Christ, as the body of Jesus Christ, believers, those who have repented of their sin, asked Jesus into life and are born again. That's the Church of Jesus Christ. So let's not get confused anymore by dog collars or religious outward attire and stuff like that. I know ministers that are born again who wear the dog collar. But some don't wear the dog collar. And they're born again. And some that don't wear the dog collar are not born again. And some that wear the dog collar are born again. And some are not born again. So it's rather confusing, isn't it? But it's not when you see it from the Bible point of view. It's only those who are justified by faith who are born again. It's by faith. And so let's be clear in our minds about that from now on. Let me repeat this. What is the power behind sustaining and upholding the Church of Jesus Christ, the born-again church? Well, the answer is the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. It's not religious formalism. It's not by going through certain religious rites or acts that bring the power of God down and bring our church alive. It's the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. The kingdom of God is built by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. It's not built by religious duties or by how wonderful our church setup is. It's built only by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. You can have a church in the wilderness. You can have a church in your house. You can have a church without stained glass windows and these wonderful buildings. But, you know, I haven't got time to go into it today, but some churches that, you know, they've got stained glass windows, wonderful buildings, the people in it are born again, but there are others who haven't. But a church is not a building. A church is not a denomination. Let me repeat this. A church, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. A church is it's a spiritual church, it's a spiritual building. It's the body of Christ. And sometimes when you see certain ministers, you know, they wear all this religious attire, the dog collars, all the frocks and everything else, and the bishop's mitre and all that. And the world looks at that as though that's the church. It isn't the church. Keep this in mind. You might wear a boiler suit, but if you're born again, you're a stone in the Church of Jesus Christ, a living stone. And if you're born again, and that bishop isn't born again, then you are exalted in the kingdom of God, and that bishop is outside of the kingdom of God. Don't be fooled by religious attire. It's all about being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a shame, you know, when there's so many in the born-again church today still see it that way. That this is the church. This is all about keeping up appearances. It's all to impress people. To put some kind of mystery. To make it more attractive, like the Roman Catholic Church. You know, all these mysteries, the shaking of incense, indulgences and all this stuff. To make it very mysterious so it looks more like God. God isn't like that. That to me is dark. It's an abomination in the eyes of God, this kind of stuff, because it's not found in the Bible. And I feel sorry. It's a shame. Even my own dad is a Roman Catholic, but he's blind in his own sin. And the problem with being a Roman Catholic is, you know, it's blinded people and it gives a false assurance that they're okay with God because they're a Roman Catholic, whether they go to church or not. It's instilled into them. There are many Roman Catholics who don't go to church, but they still say they're Roman Catholic. They think that's okay. That's going to get them to heaven. Don't be fooled. If you're a Roman Catholic today, repent of your sin and come to Jesus Christ, because he's the only one who's saved. And if you die without Christ, the Roman Catholic Church won't save you. And I will go into confession to a priest. I went to a Roman Catholic school, a convent, a private school. And it didn't save me. And all about the catechism and rosary beads. My dad's a Roman Catholic. My mother was Church of England. I went to a Church of England Sunday school. None of them saved me. It was only later on in life I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preached in the power of the Holy Spirit that saved me. No denomination can save me. Just as much as if I stood on the moon, I'd be the man in the moon. I'm not the man in the moon, and I never will be. We're talking about the spiritual kingdom of God now that will eventually become the visible at the millennium. When we will appear with Christ on the face of this earth and rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years, this is a physical thing in our new glorified bodies. At this time, the apostate church, the false religion and faiths and philosophies will be destroyed by God. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. This is what we're talking about. This is the born again church, those who have the kingdom of God within you. The persecuted church at Smyrna knew this. They knew that the kingdom of God was in. They knew they had the real thing. They knew they had God in the life. They knew they had Jesus in the hearts. They knew they didn't believe in religion. They believed in Jesus. The people outside that were persecuting had religion. These people had Jesus. There's a difference. There'll always be that persecution from religious people against the true born-again Christians. They'll even try to make you out, and they'll hammer you so much to make you out as though you're nothing. And you're less than, you almost feel as though sometimes you're not a Christian because they put on such a wonderful act. But in God's eyes, they're wrong. And in God's eyes, those that are born again, no matter how trampled down you may feel, be encouraged. If you have put your trust in Jesus and asked Jesus into your life, you are right. Praise the Lord. And it will only be on that day for many of us, when we stand before the Lord, that these people will be judged for the sin. Up to now, they're self-righteous. They really believe that they're right. But on that day, they will stand before God and give an account of themselves and their self-righteousness. Self-righteousness will take people into hell because it shuts God out of people's lives. It is pride. And people, many people today, within and without the church, are self-righteous, conceited, and that shuts God out, because God will never, can't enter in. It's a closed door to God coming into your life. The persecuted church at Smyrna knew the Lord, which sustained them during their suffering, and they were persecuted to the point of death. They knew the grace of God, that sustain them. The grace of God is the Holy Spirit, because he's called the Spirit of Grace. They knew him. They saw his workings in miracle power. The unbelieving Jews that persecuted them have become a synagogue. They become a synagogue of Satan. The synagogue of Satan means that these Jews were serving Satan's purposes, not God's. When they gathered to worship, that's what they were doing. The Bible says you'll be persecuted. It says about 10 days. But really that's speaking about, you know, the beginning and the end of a short period of time. But be faithful unto death. What it was saying with the persecution will grow intense. And sometimes, you know, we have to relate that to us today. Sometimes days are wonderful and fine, but there are other days when it's almost like the evil day. And you feel as though, you know, the enemy is infiltrating people's lives and they're looking at you with daggers and you feel totally persecuted by everything against you. It's that spirit of Antichrist. But it's only for a period of time, and that's what the 10 days means. And but Jesus says, if you go through that, be faithful. You know, just because at times in your life persecution comes, don't let that persecution turn you away from the Lord. Because it will certainly come in these end times, and through this ministry, it is to strengthen us to face persecution in the days of tribulation that lie ahead, when, you know, it will be very difficult to preach that Jesus Christ is the only way. Because the apostate church will say there are many ways to God, let's join this together. And these people are fundamental Christians who only believe that Jesus is the only way. The troublemakers, the persecution will come. But Jesus said it won't be consistent, because you'll have days of peace as well. But when the persecution comes, you feel under the pressure and everything's against you, and you think at times, is this worthwhile? Remember, it's a love relationship with Jesus. Don't turn away from the Lord. It'll just show you've got nothing. Keep faithful to Jesus, even unto death. The synagogue of Satan. They have become a synagogue of Satan, these Jewish people that are wealthy. Why? Because they're an enemy of the truth. We're fighting against this poor church in Smyrna who had the truth, and we're fighting against them, really persecuting them. And God called them the synagogue of Satan. And wouldn't that be an awful thing, you know, if God called your church the synagogue of Satan, because we've become so full of conceit and our own importance, wealth and rich, and have need of nothing, that God said. Even today, we're not just talking about synagogues, Jewish synagogues. I'm talking about churches. You're a church of Satan, or you're a synagogue of Satan, because you don't know me, because you're so full of your own works and pride. Wealth and commercial success doesn't make you great or give you any credibility in the eyes of God. I know churches, because I've been on this road a long time. I've met ministers who are so full of pride and of their own importance because of their high position and their wonderful denominations that they're involved in. And they really are conceited. And this word's for those type of people. You know, they're wealthy, success, they think they're great. It doesn't give you any credibility in the eyes of God, because it's pride. God says, humble yourselves in the eyes of the Lord, and let the Lord raise you up. It's better to be humble before God, and like that church at Smyrna. What a good example that church was. They might have felt like nothing and rubbish at times, but they didn't realize that they were going to be spoken about up throughout history, up to this present day, and encourage people like us. And so many. Yes, at times when you think you're unimportant, God's doing an important work in our lives, so that we'll be a great witness for him to the world and to the church. So at times when you feel insignificant, God's got other views about you. God's got plans for you. And he has a purpose to speak to people through your situation and my situation. Greatness in the sight of God is to be a true, faithful witness for Jesus Christ in the midst of a hostile world and religion. To be a light in the darkness of sin and Satan's kingdom. Jesus had no criticism of the church in Smyrna. They were rich in the eyes of God, poor in the eyes of the world. He encouraged them to be faithful unto death with the promise of the crown of life. The church at Smyrna is a model for the true born-again church of Jesus Christ to follow as the world and church enter greater tribulation and darkness covers the face of the earth. Then let us make our stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God in these end times. And let me finish with this. Most people finish on an encouraging note, but this is encouraging. Be faithful unto death. Let's just pray. Thank you for the word this morning. Water it in our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.